Can Beauty Thrive in the Midst of War? We talk with Fernando Truba and Aida Falk about the artist and the model on this episode of Mighty Movie Podcast. Hey, welcome to MMP. I'm Dan Persons. The Artist and the Model takes place in the waning days of World War II. In a small French village near the Spanish border, an aging artist played by Jean Rochefort offers a homeless Spanish woman played by Aida Falk room and board in exchange for her modeling for one final sculpture. But the woman has secrets of her own, and the war, invited or not, finds ways of insinuating itself into these people's lives. We previously talked with director Fernando Truba about his vibrant, Oscar-nominated animated film Chico and Rita, and with The Artist and the Model, he takes a completely different approach, filming in a rich black and white, stripping down the production to better portray the countryside these characters inhabit. It is a beautiful and thoughtful film. So here is director Fernando Truba and actress Aida Falk. Enjoy. Let's get the nudity question out of the way right off the bat, because I know you've been doing the rounds and you've probably come to the conclusion that the press in general are a bunch of filthy-minded perverts. But let me try asking it this way, because you are naked a lot in the film. But you also have to play the scene, which is a different situation from what usually happens with nudity in a film. So what were the challenges in having to confront those two requirements?
El desafío, tener que interpretar esta vez.
For me, it was a normal character, and my clothes of my character was to be naked. And always I thought this, and I thought the most important it was the interpretation of the performance of my character. And I forgot my body forms part of this story, and that was very important. But I forgot my body of, for example, my shame, my personal shame, or my personal complex of actress, not for the character. Because the most interesting is my body in my real life is one thing, and my body in my character it's the other thing. And it was very interesting, put my body for making art.
Fernando, this is a different situation from, okay, now we do the sex scene thing where it's just one thing. This is pervasive through the film. It is a part of the character, and it's sort of a part of what you're expressing in the film. How did you work with Aida to play out this aspect?
You know, I was trying to reach something natural, something true. So this, for me, is not an erotic movie. So I don't want the movie to be erotic. I wanted it to be natural and beautiful. And at this... So it was a very delicate balance to achieve here. I don't wanted the movie to be vulgar, to be ugly, and I don't want it to be fake, to be nudity in movies usually, or in commercials, or in publicity. I wanted to... There is a essential truth. in the studio of an artist, no, who is working with a model, no, and who this model is the universe for him, is the nature, is the landscape for him that he's working on. So that's what I wanted, no. I wanted to have this look, no, to have this look who was an artistic look, but who was a truthful one. That was the thing for me in that movie, and it was very delicate. You have to think about that in every single shot, no, not to lose yourself, not to let you go this way or this way, but to keep your vision all the time.
In the production notes, you said that you've been nurturing this story for quite a long time. What was the impetus that made you decide this is the time to do it?
Maybe that I was getting old and I wanted the movie to be made. But also one thing, I always thought about Jean Rochefort for that movie. And in a moment, I had a... give him the script, and he told me he loved the script and he wanted to do the movie. And then 1 or 2 years passed, and then it was the moment, because Jean Rochefort had the right age of the character. So I say, we should do it now, we can't wait anymore. And he was telling me, Fernando, I'm not a young guy anymore, please. Let's do it. So he was asking me to, and I understand that the moment was come, no, that we should do it finally.
Aida, did you look into this particular time period? Did you study anything to understand who your character was and what her experience would be in this?
Of course, I learn a lot of things. For example, for inspire me in my character, I was the wild child, for example, and there are an inspiration, and also too in the character of Renée Zellweger in Cold Mountain. And after too, I study a lot of the art, and I work with the real sculptors for feeling what is it to be model, and I don't know to I learn French for speaking in this film. And I don't know, there was 6 years I dream all the time with this film and this character.
There is a story who is interesting, that one of the main inspiration for the movie was Aristide Maillol, but the movie is not about him, and is not his life. But there was an inspiration on Maillol, and his model at the time, Dina Vierney. And she wrote about her, interviews with her. I met her once, she's not alive anymore. And we showed together documentaries about her. But when the movie was made and the movie opened in Paris, Dina Vierney's son, who is the director today of Maillol Museum in Paris, he came to the opening. And he knew that it was not Maillol or Dina Vierney's life. But after the movie, he was so happy that he approached me and he told me, please, I want to meet my mother. And then I called Aida and I told her he is the son of Dina Vierney.
And when I live in Paris, for example, for learning English, French, I find all the time the sculptures of Maillol, because there was a lot of sculptures about the woman in all the countries, and it's very common. Yeah, and it was very funny, because for example the Mediterranee, the name of the final sculpture in the film, she is in the Jardin des Tuileries.
Si, in Paris.
In a park in Paris, and I miraba eso tranquilamente.
She look at that sculpture there in Paris. And it's curious because that sculpture that I chose is from the beginning of the century. So it's before Dina Vierne was born. No, it's not one of the sculptures that he did working with her.
You know, Fernando, the last time we talked was with Chico and Rita, yeah. Which very colorful film. Packed with music, wall-to-wall music. Here you come, black and white, very spare, no music at all. Deliberate. Well, I did this, now I'm going to do this.
No, it doesn't happen like that. It's that for every story, for every movie, you do what you have to do. But I never thought a movie in function of another. To be like a continuation or to be like a rupture with the other. No, I think every movie asks you different things and you have to concentrate on the movie every time. And sometimes there are directors that do more or less the same movie every time, no? With variation on a theme. And I'm not against that because some of them are really good. Making that, not only directors, writers of actors, but when I think about what style is, I think is when you do very different things, and at the end there is something deep in your work that is common, that you can maybe find in different things, because obviously if you do the same thing all the time, it's easy to see the style, no? Because it's almost kind of repetition or variations. But I think in the his deep sense, style is when you do very different things, but there is a common ground in your work.
The black and white is beautiful in here. I always say this whenever I talk to a filmmaker who's done this, but I do feel that black and white is not used enough in film. What made you decide to go with black and white?
Well, it was always in black and white in my mind. Mm. Even a long time before I wrote the first word on paper, it was already in black and white. So it was never a question of color for that movie. Mm. It was like that, maybe because of the period. That is a period that I only know through movies and photographs who were in black and white.
The look of the film, and I'm thinking in particular of the scenes in the lake with the waterfall in it, strikes me as being very classically European. Style of filmmaking. Was that deliberate on your part? For one thing, was that a location or was that a set?
That's a location.
That was a location. Was it deliberate on your part that you wanted to reach back to the European style from Silence?
I was trying to have the style of the movie. But the style of the movie obviously is in depth with movies of the past, with classical movies, but no one in particular and many of them, no, at the same time. No? Mm-hmm. So I wanted to belong to that current, no, to inscribe my movie in that style. No? That's obviously, I wanted that.
So are you two going to be working together again?
I won, yeah, of course.
I hope so.
Yes, because it's very special working with Fernando, because he's different. Always in his shootings, he creates an ambience very, very appropriate. And for example, in the afternoon, after working, he puts the screen with the work.
The rushes.
The rushes and all the people watch his work. And this is very, very interesting, with a bottle of wine.
Helps.
Yes.
Good wine.
Good wine. This is the real life and the real work. And I love working como si no fuera trabajo.
Yeah, like if it's not work. Yeah, I try to create like a band of friends, like a family around for making a movie. It's my way. I have some director friends that like the military side of a film crew. No, I like they are the general of the army. I don't like that. I like to be in for me, making a movie, I always compare to two things: or cooking for friends, a good meal at home, or like floating a boat for going to an island that you have a map with where there is a treasure, no? And you choose everyone in the boat, in the tripulation, to be the right person to go, and you try to find this treasure, who is a good movie when you finally, if you can reach that or achieve that, no? So I try to recreate that in every movie. Not always is like that, but that was a beautiful shooting, and it was a beautiful group of people around. It was very nice doing that. It was work, but it was work in the highest meaning of the word, if you can say.
My family, we could not make a film together, so hopefully your family was a little better.
You know, it's I like when I find people who work with me, actors or technicians, and they tell me, oh, that shooting was wonderful. We should make it again. That's the best thing.
It's the same of the film. The process are the most beautiful.
You know, you do movies to be happy and to make people happy. Yesterday, we were in Madrid checking in the airport. And the woman who was giving us the tickets, she recognized me. You are the director? Yeah. And she told me about one of my movies. She told me, I watch that movie of yours every time I'm depressed or sad, to be happy. And I thought, my God, that's what gives sense to our job, no? That's what it's about, no? If you can do that, or you can, for me, that's the greatest review that you can have. I was very happy and flattered by that and grateful.
Aida, Fernando, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The Artist and the Model opened in New York and LA on August 2nd. The distributor says there will be nationwide dates following. Let's hope so. The trailer and the link to the official website are over at mightymoviepodcast.com. So you know, we're on a sporadic schedule now, doing these shows as worthwhile films crop up. So subscribe to us over at iTunes or on our RSS feed, or over at chronicrift.com, so you can catch all the good stuff. And if you want to write me, send that email to dan@mightymoviepodcast.com. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend. This has been a production of Upstart Company NYC, copyright 2013. Dan Persons, all rights reserved. No unauthorized duplication permitted.